Hello, welcome to True You Solutions, where we explore the journey of self-discovery, personal growth, and well-being. I'm Dr. Julie Kabler, your host and guide on this transformative exploration of the true self. Hello, everybody. This is Julie, and I'm sorry I haven't been with you in a while, but for the last month, I've been recovering from cataract surgery, and I haven't been able to see very well, so using the computer to put together podcasts was certainly a problem. But anyhow, I'm back. I want to talk about my book launch. I published my book, A Value-Driven Life. You can find it on Amazon, and it's a lesson and workbook about values and boundaries. As you know, in my first two podcasts, I talked about what values are and why values matter. Values help us to decide our boundaries and how we want to live our life and how we want to include and not include people that are going to bring us the life that we really want to live. So talking about my book, I hope you get a copy of it. Like I said, it's on Amazon. In the contents, we have the value of values, which of course we've already gone over before. And chapter two is the guiding light. And the guiding light is a chapter where we talk about self-awareness. And self-awareness, of course, is what will assist us in clarifying everything we need to know to find the best path for ourselves. It's having a conscious knowledge that our feelings and our motives and our character and our desires are all our own and that we like it that way. We want to know how to recognize our emotions and see ourselves as other people see us. This is going to help us tremendously. In this particular chapter, self-awareness and self-respect and self-discipline are all grouped together as a guiding light. All three of these things are important in our lives. And we find that we are an amalgam of the people closest to us, and that self-awareness, self-respect, and self-discipline are certainly very important. I grew up with a British mother who always insisted on politeness and superior manners, and this imposed value created problems for me when I would cede to other people, let them have the right of way, let them have the power, or not say no when I really wanted to say no. So it's important to have self-awareness of how we feel and give ourselves a respect to be able to implement our own values. So we can begin to unravel the mystery of who we are by taking some time to journal our thoughts and our feelings and our experiences. And think about the people that you hold up and those who are not strong supporters of your ideals and those who are. And, you know, how have these people shaped you? You can ask your friends for honest feedback about how they see you. You can ask your family, but keep in mind that your family, of course, is restricted by the values that they were taught inside the household that you grew up in as well. Has anybody uncovered anything about you that you weren't aware of? We have some exercises in the book that you're going to be able to do so that you can start to slowly unravel and reveal what you like and what you don't like. I think stop saying yes to others and worrying about their feelings. Something that we all need to work harder at. Of course, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Of course, we care how people feel. But more than anything, this is our life. And in our life, we need to make sure that we take care of number one, and that's how we feel. So if someone puts us in an uncomfortable position or wants us to do something we don't want to do, we need to be able to have the self-governing behaviors that allow us to say no and do so politely, or even just say no and feel confident that that's okay to say no. Keep in mind, of course, other people will react to that, especially if they've decided that you're not one that should say no to them. So keep in mind, you're going to get some backlash, and there may be some people who drop out of your life. You may find that people talk badly about you. Again, I'm here to tell you, if those things happen, that is not a person that you really want in your life anyway. So remove yourself from that person, distance yourself from that person if you can't get away from them. Certainly edit what you say and how you interact with that person. When we talk about self-respect, that's the foundation of our sense of worth and dignity. It's our recognition and appreciation of our own values, our own beliefs, and our own individuality. Self-respect signifies a deep understanding of our inherent worth and our unwavering commitment to honoring ourselves. Self-respect matters because it enables us to set clear boundaries in our relationships, as I mentioned before, both personal and professional. By valuing and honoring our own beliefs and needs, we can confidently communicate healthy boundaries. Therefore, we'll foster respect from others. So if you feel that you're not being respected in your relationships, it may be that you're simply not providing self-respect to yourself. Once you start to provide self-respect to yourself and practice that in your conversations with other people, you're going to find that soon other people are going to be respectful to you in return. I'm a newlywed. I got married a year and a half ago, almost 2 years, and I'm 65 years old. And so this is not my first relationship. But one thing that I did do in my marriage this time around is I say no when I don't want to do something. And when someone attempts to, you know, when my husband attempts to maneuver around in a conversation, I call him out on it. And I don't do so to be mean. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm simply putting down my groundwork of what's allowed and what's not allowed in interactions with me and what I will participate in and what I won't participate in. A lot of us grew up basically doing what I call flying by the seat of our pants, where we just get sucked into conversations and sucked into situations, and we're right in the middle of it when we suddenly realize, oh, this isn't what I wanted to discuss, or this isn't how I wanted to discuss something, or this isn't where I wanted to be. And then at that point, we don't really know what to do. We feel like if we say anything, the person's going to be upset with us. If we act according to our beliefs and our wants and our values, then we're going to be judged. And, you know, yes, it's true. You are going to be judged, especially with people who don't understand self-discipline and self-respect. But again, I encourage you to go ahead and put your foot down and kindly state what you need and what you don't need, regardless. If you're in the middle of a situation that suddenly becomes uncomfortable, you need to be able to say that. You need to be able to say to the person, I'm not feeling comfortable in this situation anymore, and so I'm going to go ahead and go home now. Or I'm not comfortable in this situation anymore and where this project is going, so I'm going to go ahead and withdraw from the program or withdraw from participating in this project or working on this with you. It's okay to do that. It's what we need. As you start to learn how to do that and stand up for yourself and set your limits with people, you're going to find that you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to have great self-worth. You're going to be very clear on what your values are. You're going to be focused on your boundaries, and you're going to start to notice that the right people are going to come into your life. You're going to notice that the relationships that are appropriate for you and your values and your boundaries are suddenly going to stand out, and the ones that aren't are suddenly going to fade to the background. And it's okay. You're going to be happy. It's going to be good. It's something you need to do for your happiness. Self-respect is vital. It underpins our emotional and mental well-being. So by honoring and valuing yourself, you nurture a positive self-image and assertiveness, reducing susceptibility to insecurity and self-doubt. So self-respect will also slowly peel away the layers of insecurity that you've had about things, and it'll peel away the layers of self-doubt that you have about things. So I'm going to recommend certainly that you pay attention to self-worth. Without self-discipline, you can't achieve your goals. Self-discipline is the thread that weaves self-awareness and self-respect and the tapestry of your true self. It's going to enable you to string together your values and your boundaries in a way that lets you build the life that you love. By practicing self-discipline, you can cultivate the ability to overcome procrastination, distractions, and self-doubt. And so therefore, you can maintain your momentum and commitment to yourself. The last thing that we want to talk about is, you know, what should we be focusing on? And so what I like to talk about after having discussed the main highlights of what our guiding light is to create values and boundaries and build the life that we love is to focus on things that are important. So we need to know our worth, you know, recognize that you're valuable and lovable simply because you're you. And I want to repeat that you are valuable and lovable simply because you are you. You know, don't absorb negative perceptions. Be aware of not absorbing negative self-worth images that are given by others. Instead, work on building your positive self-image. Assess your values. Take time to assess and understand your personal values as they guide your thoughts and actions. Focus on what you value. Recognize the importance of assessing personal values in friendships, in your family relationships, and even in your community. Challenge your feelings of unworthiness. When you start to feel that you're unworthy and you have self-doubt and insecurities, question that. Examine this. Is this based on truth, or is it influenced by the lies that other people have perpetuated? Or is it influenced by, you know, stories that other people have made up about you? Or, as I like to say, the part that you're supposed to play in the production of the family life. What role have they given you? And when you deviate from that role, you're going to notice that they're going to get upset because you're not playing your role. But in this life, and it's your life, you get to choose the role that you're going to play. So you get to choose your character and your character's attributes, and you get to model your character in a way that makes sense to you, in a way that feels good to you, in a way that provides you with self-love. You want to celebrate your strengths, recognize and celebrate your personal strength and your personal qualities. You know, I lived a life where not a lot of celebration ever occurred around any of my accomplishments. So when I was in ice skating, when I was younger and I was in a competition and I was told that, oh yeah, you did a great job. But that was really about all that ever happened. When I graduated from college and got my bachelor's degree, I was in my 40s and there was no celebration. There was no party. There was no cake. I was pretty proud of myself. Then I went on to get my master's degree. And again, even with my master's degree, there was no celebration. And guess what? When I went to get my doctorate degree and I got that, I think I was 63 years old when I got my doctorate degree in human services. And again, there wasn't a celebration and there wasn't a party. And so I'm going to say and suggest that whenever you have an accomplishment, make a special time to go out and celebrate these things, because the celebrations in your life are important. You need to remember what you've done, what you've accomplished. You need to pat yourself on the back and you need to feel proud, and you need to be surrounded by people who are also proud of you. So please do that. When I published my book, A Value-Driven Life, again, you can get that on Amazon in 3 different formats. When I published this book, my husband took me out to a lovely restaurant in town. I had a fabulous meal, and we celebrated that I had written my first book, something I'd wanted to do for probably, you know, 40, 50 years of my life. And finally, I got around to doing that. So here we are. Getting back to focusing on things, you know, learn how to communicate your needs. I know sometimes it's really difficult to tell someone what we need, but if we don't tell people what we need, then we're not going to get what we need. And it's really quite simple. In sales, they say that, you know, you always want to be happy when people say no, because after about 10 no's, you're going to get a yes. So therefore, the first 9 no's, they're excited about because they know the yes is coming. The same thing kind of works in relationships with people and our intimate relationships. People don't know what we need, and it's pretty much going to be that if we don't tell them what we need, we're probably not ever going to get what we need. People aren't mind readers. People don't have the same values as us. They don't have the same upbringing as us. They don't have the same definition of words and situations that you have based on your experiences and your upbringing. So tell people what you need. Another big one is pursue your dreams. Imagine and strive for your heart's desire and believe in your ability to achieve it. If you have a dream and you have something you want to do, stay focused. Keep it in mind. You don't have to race and get it all done in one day, 1 week, or even 1 year, but keep it on the table. Every day, chip at it a little bit away. I personally, I'm working on writing a novel, and 42 years ago, I sat in an apartment when I was just 23 years old with my husband and started typing a story that I had made up in my mind. And I typed and typed and typed, and he got so mad at me that one night he told me that he was going to throw my typewriter off the balcony if I didn't stop typing in the middle of the night. So I had to abstain from staying up late and typing, which is really troublesome for a writer because we tend to do our best work at night when we're uninterrupted and everything else is quiet. But I was able to spit out probably about 1.5 inches worth of papers on my IBM Selectric of my storyline. And I carried that around with me everywhere. I've had it for 42 years, and I finally forgot it when I moved and was divorced from my husband and left it in a file somewhere, and I no longer have access to it. However, I have the story in my mind. I know my characters. I know what goes on. And so recently, I was telling a friend about this book, this novel that I'm going to write. It's a historical romance. And she encouraged me. She said, "That's a fabulous story and you need to write that." And then I kind of chuckled and I said, "Yeah, I probably should before somebody else does." And we laughed because what we basically were implying is that the ex-husband who has possession of my transcript might get somebody else to put that story out there. So I started writing a historical romance book, and I'm probably going to take about 9 months to a year to get it done. Fiction is a lot harder for me. We have to write dialogue. We have to build emotion into sentences in structures that I don't normally use as I speak. I'm definitely more of a nonfiction girl when I'm talking, so it's a little more difficult for me, but it's my dream, and I'm going to pursue that dream. And every day I take a little bit of time, whether it's studying the history of the countries that are involved in my story, or whether it's thinking about my characters and places that they've been and what their thoughts are and how they're going to move through this book. Every day I spend time on that, and it's something I'm very excited about doing. You want to practice self-compassion. So when you don't get something done, or you didn't work on something that's your dream, you know, treat yourself with compassion and kindness. This too shall pass. Some days we're not in the mood, and sometimes that mood can go on for a while. Sometimes we get stuck. It's okay. It's not the end of the world, and it's not how life is going to continue to be. You want to engage in activities that bring you joy. Find something that you like to do in your daily routine, or find something you like to do once a week that you can commit to. For me, I have a tendency to like a lot of varied things. But the problem that I have is that I also am compassionate and understanding about participating in group activities where other people might be let down if I were to stop participating after a while. I have a tendency to enjoy things for a while, and then I'm not so much interested in them anymore. The only one thing that I do like to do on a regular basis is I love to play tennis. And so I go every week and I play tennis. I take a tennis lesson and I get to play there, and hopefully I get to play some games with people around and outside of those lessons. But at the very least, I do go play tennis every week. And that's basically the one thing that I can commit to that never seems to waver where I don't want to do it anymore. So find something that you like to do. Be grateful. Be grateful for what you have, and be grateful for you know, the world that you've created. And again, we want to make sure that you understand that you are creating your world. So if there's things in your life and things in your day that you're not happy with, then find out what your values are and how those things are rubbing wrong against your values, and start to change those or implement changes that are going to bring your values about. And pretty soon you're going to find that you're happier. I don't live in a fancy house. I don't have, you know, a big fancy car and a big fancy income. But what I do have is I have peace of mind. And I have peace of mind because I have found a way to work. Even though I'm retired, I do some work, and that provides me with satisfaction. I provide myself with opportunities to interact with other people on a basis that's comfortable for me. So about once a week, I like to go out to lunch with a girlfriend in town and enjoy their company. I have a fabulous family, so anytime there's weddings or birthdays or anniversaries or holidays, our family all gets together. And gosh, there's probably 72 family members that live in this small town, and we all enjoy each other's company. And of course, all 72 of us can't get together at the same time, but usually we can get about 35 to 40 of us going. So it's a lot of fun. I married into a fabulous family of lovely people, and I love them dearly. So be grateful and enjoy in activities that you enjoy. And then don't forget to implement your boundaries. Clearly, again, we talked about that just a moment ago. You have to have boundaries in order to build the life that you love. You can't just allow people to come all willy-nilly walking inside your world, disrupting and knocking over the potted plants. So think about what your boundaries are and start bringing people into your world that abide by these boundaries and start moving away from and backing up away from people who aren't abiding by these boundaries that are important to you. There's a worksheet in my book for every chapter that we talk about. So this chapter, which was the guiding light, has a worksheet in it where we talk about reflecting on our character. We talk about early life stories and write down, you know, experiences from our early life and how those have shaped us. There's questions about self-respect and creating a haven for yourself and finding joy in your life. Discipline, I want to talk about. You can journal about self-discipline in a recent time when you exercised and how that made you feel. Handling setbacks, we scribble about that. Setting goals, what steps, long-term goals and short-term goals. You can write out the steps that you have for those, and then you can journal about self-awareness. My book also has 31 pages in the back, one page for one day of a 31-day month, where you can keep a journal. Journaling might really help bring about some things that are important to you, especially if you're journaling about disappointments and also excitements and also boredom. You're going to find out, you know, well, why is this so boring? And then as you delve into that a little further, you're going to find the value that goes along with that. And that works with negative and positive experience as well. Every chapter has a section called reflection. And so these are questions that we ask ourselves about the values that we just discussed. So, for example, on the guiding light, what does self-awareness mean to you and how do you practice it in daily life? How do you cultivate self-respect and honor yourself with dignity in your personal day-to-day routines? How does self-discipline play a role in achieving your goals? How do you create a haven for yourself at home? How have early life experiences shaped your self-awareness and character? How have your past relationships impacted your values on romantic relationships? What are some strategies you use to avoid temptation and maintain self-discipline? How do you practice forgiveness and self-compassion when you experience setbacks or fall short of your goals? Those are the things they're going to reflect on at the end of chapter 2. We have 7 chapters in this book. So today's podcast was about that. I hope you have a fabulous week. If you need to reach me, you can certainly email me at drjuliecabler@gmail.com. Be happy to hear what you have to say, and I will get back to you. So until then, I hope you have a fabulous week, and stay focused on you. Well, that's all we have for today, folks. I want to thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions, you can send those to me at drjuliecabler@gmail.com. Additionally, we have a website. It's www.trueyou.solutions. You can go there and check out any podcasts you might have missed in the past and keep up to date with what's going on with us. I hope you have a fabulous day, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.